April happened, markets crashed. And my boss at that time said, the good news is, while the entire desk has got salary cuts, you've got no salary. I said, sir, my base is 8 lakh rupees. How much can you cut from here? And I was very fascinated by the world of hedge funds. With no background, nothing to do with finance, degree not in finance, I didn't even know how to use Excel at that time. And then I hustled like there's no tomorrow. And there are these 5 people, all of them about the age of 50, saying that we want to start an e-commerce dedicated logistics firm. And we're like, ye entrepreneurship ka bhoot aapko is umar mein kyun sambhal raha hai? This was like, I am the one who coined cash on delivery, the term for India.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 53
of The Money Talks. And this is a very unique episode because, you know, for this man, I cannot actually have a flow. Because when he speaks, he will talk and the flow can go for a toss after that. So without further ado, I want to call and invite, and I'm so thankful that he's here, Mohit Gulati, the managing partner of ITI Growth Ventures.
When friends call for a talk, one can't say no. And I like the very illustrious opening line. But yeah, I mean, it's always fun to, you know, not have a script to life, right?
Yeah.
Life gets boring with a script. So let's keep it as free-flowing. And candidly, let's...
With you, Mohit, even if I could deliver a script, I would not deliver one, right? So that getting said, Mohit, we're going to... The usual thing is, because, you know, the listeners that are tuning in would love to know who you are before we talk about what you do, and then obviously your opinions on what things are ongoing. So, Mohit, you know, you studied in Pune, right? And after that, you've done your MBA from IIT Bombay. And you took a very interesting path into becoming a managing partner at a VC fund. You started out effectively working for a hedge fund, right? Could you talk a little bit about the history before the hedge fund and then what this hedge fund was all about?
So, actually, you know what? Before we get to the working life, right? Let's take a sort of backstory into my life as a kid, who I was.
Said only there cannot be a script.
There cannot be a script, exactly. No, but it's very relevant, right? Because I hope via this podcast, right, listeners and viewers of yours get to sort of, you know, I like to say that, you know, it's not just my story. I think so many of us have stories where, you know, you look at them and you'll be like, theek yaar, you know, agar ye kar sakta to hum bhi kar sakte, apna time aayega. So my story is one of those apna time aayega, with a little bit of a fundamental belief ki, you know, there is some purpose to why you're on earth. So unfortunately, I was never a bright student, and both my parents are doctors. So the expectations from me as a student were very high.
Wow.
But I was never able to deliver them. And when I say not deliver, right? So it's not like my father expected me or my mom expected me to get 85-90%. They said, beta,
70-80
में थे। अच्छा। बड़ी मुश्किल से उसमें भी आते थे। ठीक है, सो दे न्यू कि ये टॉपर नहीं बनेगा, एटलिस्ट बीच में आ जाए कहीं। सो दैट डिड हैपन। एंड ऑनेस्टली आई थिंक माय चाइल्डहुड वाज मोर अबाउट, यू नो, जस्ट बीइंग अ ड्रीमर, बीइंग वेरी क्यूरियस अबाउट अ बंच ऑफ थिंग्स बिसाइड स्टडीज। एंड आई वाज द गाय इन द क्लास हु वुड बेसिकली, आई डिडंट हैव एनी पर्टिकुलर एंबिशन कि मेरे को इंजीनियर बनना है, मेरे को डॉक्टर बनना है। आई वाज लाइक, ओके, क्लास में 50 लोग हैं, सबके 50 लोगों के अपने अपने चीजें हैं बनने वाली। आई वांट टू बी ऑल ऑफ देम।
Awesome.
And somehow this journey, right, of what we do today, and then you'll resonate with it, right? As fund managers, essentially, we are master of all trades and jack of none. Right?
Absolutely.
Sorry, jack of all trades, master of none. In some cases also that, right? And in a way, through our entrepreneur's eyes, we are building all these businesses. So we get to do so many diverse things in a very horizontal manner.
True.
Versus just saying vertically, I'm a specialist of this. And that is why it's important to sort of see this entire journey in its continuity, because essentially marks were of course poor. Medicine was something which I didn't get, which meant that I would essentially become Munna Bhai in my dad's clinic and said, Mamu, late jao. Because that's the only thing, right? Oh, my family business is, your parents are doctors, right? What else can you do there besides, if you don't have a degree, there's no contribution that you can make, right? Besides being a compounder there. So fortunately got into engineering, passed engineering in 4 years, which I felt was a good achieving task. There were a little bit of a hiccup here and there where there were like these KTs and potential year downs, and we were sort of dodging that. So that was fun. But around third year of engineering, I think jab, you know, wo thoda wake up sirf ka batti ho gaya, when I was like, okay, something has to be done about life, right? Like, I've been living it too casually. And I was very comfortable in my casual life because, you know, there was no real aspiration or goal at that time. I distinctly remember 2006, right? The world, I'd started looking in the stock markets very early on, but didn't really understand it as well. But there were one terminology which came in my mind, right, was hedge funds.
Mm.
And I was very, you know, very fascinated by the world of hedge funds. So, okay, was apne life mein hedge fund mein kaam karna. With no backgrounds, with nothing to do with finance. I mean, degree not in finance. I didn't know how to use Excel at that time. I basically was like, boss, I need an internship in a hedge fund. And then I hustled like there's no tomorrow, because back then you didn't have the option of, you know, connecting to people via LinkedIn and all of that. Right? So you had to either send cold emails or send faxes or even make random calls. So I realized that there are no hedge funds in India. The only places where, at least closer to India, where you would see hedge funds are Singapore and Hong Kong.
True.
So I started sending random cold emails to like 200 hedge funds across Singapore. Hong
Kong. That's amazing. Wow.
And of course, I didn't get reply for, I think, 90% of them. And for the 10% that I got, they were like, you're a kid, you're 19 years old, we have nothing to offer and all of that. And then there's this one fund, which was a Tiger Cub, who said, okay, we will take you in.
What does a Tiger Cub mean?
A Tiger Cub is essentially a fund which has its initial seed capital given by Tiger Global.
Oh, wow.
So Tiger Global would, you know, sort of incubate multiple hedge funds and strategies via giving them 20, 30, 40 million seed capital.
And 1,000, yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, of course. But also the fact is, Tiger Global at that time also was like a $25 billion entity, right? So giving those 20, 30 million chote chote checks to, say, you know, 50 people wasn't too large for them. So Kelusa, which was a billion plus hedge fund, that's when I started my internship. And I had like one of the best life learning and experience there. 1 year, half of which was on campus in Singapore, half of it was in India. Went and, you know, built out. So saw the entire peak of the euphoria.
So you joined around 2008, right?
2007-8 is when I joined. So the markets were really, really hot at that time. The fund owned some crazy mid-caps in India. I can't even name them because a lot of them are actually just shut down. Right? So they're like Lanco in France, some real junk mid-cap. DSK, right? They used to own like 9% of DSK. DS Kulkarni is a builder in Pune. And I remember going for that meeting with the fund manager. Right, so outside the door of the building, right, main promoter Mr. Kulkarni standing there with the board which says Kelusa Capital, DSK welcomes Kelusa Capital. So very early on, right, at that young age, just getting that exposure, you're feeling the vibe of a large corporate boardroom, being able to sit and breathe the same air as a promoter who is pedigreed or is large enough. That was really mesmerizing. And I was like, boss, I want to do this. In some form or the other, I want to do this. So that's where the journey actually began. I went deeper, tried to understand the markets more, learned short selling through the fund managers there, because they basically made me work on a bunch of short thesis. So our biggest short in the fund was HTC. If you remember, HTC used to have like some of the nicest phones way back in 2005-7.
I had
I'm sure all of us had it, right? But there was fundamental flaws around how HTC was being built out.
Right.
Right, and it was Taiwanese owned, and the technology curve was changing. They were still on their native UI while Android had just started coming in, and Apple had launched this revolutionary phone, which was the Apple iPhone.
Well, I remember you. I think you had to go to the local electronics market to figure out.
Yeah, so I used to go to Sim Lim Square, which is a local market in Singapore, and I used to go and gauge demand for HTC, Acer, Asus by talking to the retailers there. So good, great learnings. I think, you know, for a young 19, 20 year old, if you're ready to hustle, there was enough and more learning. Then came to India and built a short thesis for Maruti. Short Maruti, they had a pair trade, short Maruti, long Tata Motors. So I had to go and meet dealers and distributors of Maruti and Tata Motors. And I had this, you know, because I had to go as a representative of the fund, right? So I called them and said, can I get a visiting card? They said, yeah, you can get one printed for yourself there. So what do you expect a 20-year-old guy to print, right? So I had a blue color visiting card with white font on it.
Do you have a copy of that?
I have a copy of that. If possible, I'll share it with you. The tackiest visiting card that could ever be built out. You know how I got it made? I was a magazine editor for my college magazine. So my editor could, because I was the editor, so I was also getting the publishing done, right? So the same publisher, I think, I want this visiting card. Blue color with white. And he put his own. So, you know, even the font was not bold. It was like some italics on it. So using that tacky card, I used to go to dealers and ask them about their inventory. How's your inventory moving? Gaadi bik raha hai ki nahi bik raha hai? And funnily, they would respond back. Because they were like, okay, you know, what's the harm in just telling this guy? So I would go to Okhla, Noida, you know, all sorts of places. Because for Maruti, the North India was the bigger bet, right? 62% of Maruti's sales was coming from North India. So did a lot of, you know, on-ground hustle there. while parallelly finishing my engineering course. So by the fourth year of engineering, I was very clear, because engineering is not meant for me. I have to get into finance. Somewhere, I do regret not having that much focus on my engineering degree, because I think a lot of my friends who are in tech have done exceedingly well. So many of them have done their MS in the US, are working at Meta, Apple, and so many other places. But then, you know, I think I'm a guy who believes a lot in serendipity and God's plan, right? So everyone's meant to be in a particular place, and destiny sort of collides and, you know, colludes and brings you to that shape. So for me, I have a very distinct memory of my placement officer in college who refused to let me sit for placement, saying that you will not sit for placement because you're not meant for an engineering job. TCS, Persistent, and all these guys who were on campus, he said, I'll not let you sit there because you will be a bad resource to them and they will be a bad employer for you. Go to Bombay, figure out your life. And by then, unfortunately, Kedusa had become small in size. So they made a few phone calls, and I started working at a domestic broking house here called Antique.
Wow.
Which was, I think, fourth or fifth largest broking house at that time. So 3 years, 1.5 years of equity research, where I learned our FMCG companies, capital goods, and 1.5 years of institutional equity sales. Again, because, you know, I was young, I was very, very hardworking. I was putting in like 15 hours a day. I used to start my day at 6:30 in the morning, picking up 5 newspapers from Churchgate Station, go to the office. So you have to summarize so we had a daily morning note that I had to go out. And I would build out that note every day. As an analyst, every day, associate, not even an analyst, right? You're at the lowest end of the pyramid. But it's, again, like I said, right, if you're willing to learn, there is just so much available out there. And I was very lucky. My lead analyst, Abhineet, and then Abhijit, Kundu, they taught me so much. And that basically gave me the fundamentals of learning and understanding how balance sheets work, how P&Ls work. And in a way, you're sort of marrying that love even today, right?
Because, and his note was called A Day in the Life of India?
Yeah. A Day in the Life of India that had a pretty crazy readership, because essentially when you're 24, 25, right, you have nothing to lose in life. So building this morning note for my entire desk, who in turn would send it to all our clients, and I had my own personal mailing list. So I just randomly scraped email addresses. So I had Geeta Gopinath on my mailing list. She was at IMF that time. I had Raghuram Rajan on my mailing list. One of my best pen pals was Y.V. Reddy. Y.V. Reddy had retired from being governor of RBI. And he and I were pen pals. Like he started enjoying my daily notes so much that he would respond back. And I would ask him questions about, you know, policy and everything else. And he, of course, would very, very nicely would turn it down and say, he used to call me Mohit Beta. Like, Mohit Beta, you understand, I have been ex-governor at RBI. I cannot comment on this. And of course, you know, for me, just receiving an email from him was great. And he said, I want, your note is very nice. I send it to my daughter and son-in-law every morning. It is very tedious for me. Can you put them also on your mailing list? I said, sure, more the merrier. Mark Faber was on my mailing list, and we used to talk about gold. So my thesis around gold investing was actually learned from Mark Faber, because he was my pen pal. So it was incredibly
you sent this every morning.
Every fucking morning. At that time, when you were sort of in it, right? Because you were just so hungry. And Bombay is such a difficult city, right? I used to live in a Mahada Chawl. Tardev mein, you know the Twin Towers?
Yeah.
Uske bagal mein, there's a Mahada Chawl. Okay. I was on the fifth floor. My car cleaner, I had a car. Ayash to the. Father ne car di. So my car cleaner was on the seventh floor. My dhobi was on the 11th floor. And my maid was on the tower next to me on the fourth floor.
You pretty much had your house.
I had all my
penthouse. You have everything you need.
But the, I mean, yes and no. I had my 250 square feet and they had their 250 square feet. So yeah, in a way, you can say it that way. And I used to, you know, so my window used to overlook the Twin Tower. And it's a very sort of a nostalgic moment for me, because I used to always look at that Twin Tower and say, I have to get there. I have to build something to get, I have to achieve something to get there. I've still not got into that Twin Tower, but I've at least got into some of the towers there. But, you know, the one thing I have to credit, right? I learned so much about hard work from the people who stayed in that building. Right? And they were some of the nicest neighbors I've ever had in all of Mumbai. And I've stayed in lots of houses, right? Because when you're sort of young and you're living in Bombay, every 1.5-2 years, you have the itch to move to a different geography, right? So you want to stay in Bandra sometimes, and sometimes you want to stay in Balkeshwar, sometimes you want to stay in Tardev. You will not resonate with it because you're a Bombay boy. You're used to your...
I've been in India for 12 years.
Agree. But see, you were born in Bombay, right? Yeah. So for you, or Mumbai, for you, Mumbai is home. Like, same thing if you tell me in Pune, which is my hometown, I would be like, what sort of nonsense is it, right? I don't want to stay in different parts of Pune. I want to stay in the part where I was born.
Correct.
So you will not get it. But for outsiders who come to the city, and the thing about Mumbai, right, it's very binary. Either you will love it or you will hate it.
Yeah, that's true.
And I love the city to death. Like, I love the monsoons. I love getting wet in the monsoon. I love getting stuck in traffic. While coming to your office today, the Ganesh Chaturthi is just starting. There was like a 1.5-hour traffic jam. And I'm okay, you know, now that I'm in the jam, at least let me take some photos of the nice Ganpatis moving around. So it's always funny. I love the city. So that's where the journey actually began. And 2012 is essentially a pretty bad year, if you remember, right?
Mm.
India was like in the standstill, where nothing was moving. We had policy inaction. We had just complete, I think the sentiment had dried out in the Indian economy altogether.
I had returned to India in 12.
So you know, right? And that's when I was like, basically, you know, also a backstory to that is 2012 particularly, I got an invite from SVGen. And I was very happy to go and take that. And then my boss at that time, I don't want to name him because he has a surname very close to yours. My boss at that time said, kya kar rahe ho MBA mein? Kya sikha rahe ho MBA mein? Jo bhi sikha rahe ho, hum sikha rahe ho. Bloomberg, you know how to operate. You've got Excel sheets which are linked to Bloomberg. You've only done that. You've done equity research. You've done equity sales. Yes, sir, MBA ke baad hi log aise naukri karne aate hain. So you're lucky that you've already got this without an MBA. And then he's like, if you go for an MBA right now, you will lose out on the bonus for the year. Look at the opportunity cost that you're going to spend money to do an MBA and lose your bonus. So Dallas, so I fell for that and I said, okay, no, I'll stay. I deferred. I didn't actually defer. I said no to the invite. And basically then April happened. Markets crashed for whatever reason that there was. And so the same boss, he calls me to the, you know, our appraisal room. And like, listen, Gulati, I have good news for you and I have bad news. Which one do you want to listen to first? So I said, sir, good news. He said, the good news is, while the entire desk has got salary cuts, you've got no salary. I said, sir, my base is 8 lakh rupees. How much can you cut from here? And this is 8 lakhs per annum, right? It's not per month. What are you going to cut from here on? And for the amount of work I give, there is really very little to cut now. And then I'm like, okay, now what is the bad news? Like, the bad news is that because everyone's done badly, there are no bonuses this year. And that came like a shock. Which
pile of bricks.
Like a pile of bricks, which just sort of came crashing down because I was promised that bonus, right? I felt very cheated. And you know, when you're sort of young, right? You're just so emotional about everything. Very next minute, like within half an hour, I typed my entire resignation letter and I said, here's my resignation letter. Today is May 5th. I'm going to leave on 3rd August because I came on 3rd August. I'll leave on 3rd August. Here's my resignation. And I will work my ass off till 3rd of August, but I'm going to go only on that date, not before that, not after that. And he said, like, what happened? Why are you resigning? Are you going somewhere else? I said, no. And then, why 3rd August? It's because I want to complete my full 3 years here. and I kid you not, I worked my ass off till 3rd August 2012, and then I quit.
Yeah.
And I had no job in hand. I had nothing. And basically, I didn't know what next to do in life. So I went back to Bombay, I went back to Pune, let go of the house here, which was rental any which way. Went to Goa with my then girlfriend, now wife, trying to figure out life. And then, you know, Goa is...
You always figure out life.
You always figure out life, right? unfortunately, not in the smartest way. You do figure out something there, though. And then, you know, I think we were on some beach, randomly just chilling. And I got a call from that same ex-boss. He's like, I also quit my job. Let's start something together. Tiger, you come back to Bombay. I know I owe you.
So, your boss from?
From Antique.
Antique, yes, sir.
Like, I still owe you that bonus. Kuch saath mein karte hain, bada banayenge. And I mean, I really like that guy. And I've learned so much from Anish. Now I can name him. I've learned so much from Anish that over the years, I was like, boss, TK, if he's doing something, I definitely want to jump in. I came back. We set up a 250 square feet office in Nariman Point. We called it Olifant's Capital. Olifants basically was from a French name of Olifant, which was elephant. We wanted elephants in our name because elephants are a vegetarian, strong elements.
Correct.
Right. So we wanted to be good people, right? Can we do good to others while still showing our strength?
Exactly.
And that was really the genesis around it. But what we were essentially setting out to do was start a niche investment banking unit. When you come to the stock market, you know money on one side and you know people who want money on one side. You start an investment banking unit. So that's how the venture capital journey started with Olde Funds Capital. Watch. Essentially, it was an investment bank. It turned out to be a VC fund.
And I think as soon as you started, you pretty much had your first deal in hand.
Again, you know, and Anirudh, you'll realize this, right? I don't think we choose transactions or deals.
Mm.
They choose us.
Mm.
There is so much serendipity in play, right? Look at all the portfolios that you've invested in. You will start seeing patterns. You've not gone chasing any one of them,
right?
They've all somehow or the other come your way. Something has struck in the right mind and you're like, boss, I want to be invested, right? So for us, on the fifth day of setting up operations, we were just basically figuring out what next to do in life. On the fifth day of operation, we have five people who walk into our office. There's no space for us to even sit together. So we're now to Status, which is like a very popular eatery down in Nariman Point. And we're like, okay, kya karna hai? And there are these five people, okay, all of them above the age of 50, saying that we want to start an e-commerce dedicated logistics firm. And we're like, guys, you are all 50 and above. Ye entrepreneurship ka bhoot aapko is umar mein kyun sambhal raha hai? And Krishnan, you know, Krishnan, like, I am the one who coined cash on delivery, the term for India. I had operations for Blue Dart for 22 years. This is Sanjeev. He's been an integral part of Blue Dart. He's the guy who does IPL logistics and everything else. You know, IPL logistics is a whole segment in Blue Dart. And Sanjeev was like, again, a very, very important working member within Blue Dart. Manju was the head of HR for North Blue Dart. Satya was head of finance for Blue Dart North. Anil Atri, who was the co-founder of, not a co-founder, but he was an integral founder at Gati, then started Boxman Logistics. All five of them had cumulative 125 years of experience only in logistics.
And that too in such a nascent e-commerce market.
Nascent was the boss, Amazon Thani.
Correct.
Okay, Flipkart used to deliver books. The e-commerce of that time was, no, Snapdeal was still doing Coupling.
Sir.
E-commerce at that time was Fashionara, Fashion & You, Bazi, eBay, India. That was e-commerce.
I don't know how
many. India Times. That was a big boy. Home Shop 18.
Yeah.
This was e-commerce. Naptol. That was e-commerce.
How many people actually remember that?
Yeah.
And most of these names, well, none of these names currently exist.
I don't think anything. Home Shop 18, probably, no.
Home Shop 18, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know.
I think they have some team for my baby, but yeah, so none of them exist, right? But they were the big boys at that time.
Hmm.
And Krishna, like, give me the money. Blue Dart's DNA doesn't, I mean, I know a lot of people, we come under flag from another Damani who owns a lot of the Blue Dart. And I remember pitching to him. That was one of the funniest meetings because we were trying to raise the round, right? And he heard the whole pitch and he's like, okay, interesting. Let's see where you go. But our, you know, Krishna's simple thesis was for a Blue Dart, right? Because there are dedicated planes. So imagine a volumetric box, right? Like a shoe box. That in that they can put 25 checkbooks or passports and make 150 realization for a document. Same box is a Jabong ka Juta. Right? And realization is 200 rupees.
Correct.
So in his priority list, the 200 rupee Juta is never the priority. It's those checkbooks and financial documents which are going to be priority. And that is what Krishnan said, that this is why e-commerce is a different beast. It needs logistics of a different kind. Their DNA is different. Try and buy, cash and really, all of that was very, very new at that time. That's how we started building Ecom Express, which was essentially all my earnings in those 3 years at Brokingham, which I put into this company here. So 7,24,000 rupees was my bank account. I put 7 lakh rupees in it. 24,000 I kept to myself.
I don't think this is safe financial advice to anybody.
It's the worst financial advice. Right? Again, will I do something like that today? Absolutely not. Right? Where I'm betting 99% of my net worth into something.
And that to one company, not even a...
That to one company. But again, when you're young, right, you take some of these very rash decisions going by your gut and instinct just because you think that maybe you're smart and you're able to do it. Of course, you know, back then, 2012 was such a crazy time, right? Because venture capital was not established in India. We were all basically tigers roaming around in an open jungle, feasting on whatever was there. I felt this was a great category to be in. And I was convinced, like, Krishnan is a storyteller. He's a guy who on ground builds things. One of the best entrepreneurs I have seen in my entire lifetime. Incredible guy. And basically, I was like, boss, if this guy even does half of what he's saying, this money is protected and safe. Of course, mine was a small amount, right? Anish put in a crore.
only funds put in another 50 lakhs, which
are. But interestingly, even 7 lakhs at that time was very decent, a decent check compared to what you see these days, what angels are writing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, see, my life has always been about risk here. I love risk. I'll actually show you my bank account right now, okay? Cumulative between my three bank accounts, my total owning, total cash on bank in the account liquid will be like 5,000 rupees.
5,000 rupees. Are you serious?
Everything is invested for me, right? Either I'm in, and I'm in all kind of asset classes that are available. But look, if there is an asset class that is existing on this country, on this planet, I'm in it. Crypto mein? Haan hai. Fiction ka mein? Haan hai. Listed mein? Hai. Unlisted mein? Hai. Watches mein? Hai. Ghar mein? Hai. Matlab, you name it. Every asset class, like, whatever. You know, the joke in my office.
This is exactly why I said you cannot have a scripted conversation with this man.
Continue. No, the joke in my office is, you know, raste mein agar there are two chickens fighting, this guy will find a way to, you know, create a betting pool on that.
I can actually agree with that. I can actually see that. But the e-commerce express journey, I think you were not best. 18-24 months is what you pretty much held your stake for.
Yeah, so more importantly than holding the stake, right? So what happened is Anish told me that, Mohit, why don't you go and sort of build with them and they need help. Money is one thing, but they need to build a team and all. And you're doing nothing sitting here anyway. It's not like we're having 10 transactions a day.
Correct.
We are just chilling. So why don't you go and take a more operational role with them and help them? I think, okay, sure. We set up our, I think the first city we set up was Delhi. And third or fourth city was Pune. So it all started with Pune. Where Sanjeev called me and said, kya kar raha? I said, kuch nahi, off the metro. Thursday evening, I'm coming to Pune. Aja, you understand the Pune geography very well because that's home for you. Let's set up Pune together. I'm like, oh, sure. I reached Pune. I took a Shiveri bus, reached Pune. And I'm like, okay, bolo kya kar raha? We went driving around in the Ola cab across Pune. Ola bhi nahi, whatever, we went to rickshaws and cabs. Identified the city, broke it down. We need so many TCs, we need so many delivery boys. Monday morning, we cut the ribbon in Pune. There was this crazy torrential rain. I additionally remember it. And Sanjeev was so nice to me, he like, what, you will cut the ribbon.
Really?
24-year-old me cutting the ribbon to start e-commerce logistics operations in Pune. And that was a life-changing moment, right? Because that was so exciting, just the journey of doing that. Channel was all cities cut then. Because then it became like a drug, right? It becomes like an addiction. Go to a new city, set it up, in 3 days, get out. It's like a sniper mission that you're on. So within the first year, we set up like 47 cities in total.
Wow.
Ran out of all the cash that was raised. Okay. And we had a warrant structure in the company. When we invested, it was equity plus warrants. The warrants were issued in a way wherein basically the founders were very confident that we'd not forget break even operationally. We'd have PAT positivity. And for every 25 lakh rupees that we cross your estimates on, you would give us back 1%. And we're like, yeah, sure. Karo. No problem. If you do like, you know, if you do 10 crores, let's say 2 crores higher than what you're saying, then basically 8% equity, we let you claw back.
Oh, wow. How much equity was taken in the first one?
22.
Oh, wow. 8% was a lot of equity to give back.
But that is subject to you beating
PAT. Yeah, numbers, of course, right? Of course. But I mean, that's funny.
Now, the funny part is, on the 7th month, we forget PAT positivity. All the capital is gone. Because when you're setting up a logistics operation, right, you have rentals, you have people on your payroll, you have so many fixed costs that get added on. You can't do PAT positivity in the first year. It's never going to happen. And we ran out of capital. So then, we donned the investment banking hat. Because bas apni company hai, bachana hai, paisa to raise karna padega. And that's when we basically went on this padyatra of meeting all Gora, Kala, Peela, Neela funds of India. Okay, 32 venture capital and private equity funds rejected us. Koi bolta hai team butti hai, koi bolta hai team ko technology nahi hai. Look at delivery, such a technology backed company. You are old, you don't understand technology. So Krishna is a guy who would not walk into a meeting and listen to this and walk out, right? He'll give it to you on your face. And so if you tell him that, you know, technology, he's like, kya karoge ab technology ke andar? I've done logistics for 25 years. I know how to take parcels from point A to point B in unit time at the lowest price. Technology can be an enabling factor. It can't be the only factor.
Very true.
And this is, mind you, this is 2012, 2013, right? It's not like drones are moving around and, you know, all sorts of random new things are happening. This is very early days on logistics. While the delivery comparison has always been there and delivery is done exceedingly well, we just wanted to get a seat at the table
saying that we can be number two. There was enough room and scope for a number two. Nobody believed us. Nobody believed us. I kid you not, nobody believed us. And I'll give you names of funds, the things they said, the things they did with us. It is criminal. Like, honestly, and the thing I like, right, is karma. Karma comes back in a full little circle. As what you sow, you will definitely reap. A lot of those funds today are not even existing in this country.
That's, wow.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit, right?
Without names.
Without
names. I don't want to get massacred here. So yeah, we ran out of capital. Krishnan put up his house on loan against property. We put up our assets on, like I had this one house in Pune, which I put on loan against property. Anish put in his own capital and we gave debt to the company. We infused 4.5 crores in debt just to keep the company alive. With the single focus,
that was boss, incredible amounts of conviction.
We were convinced, boss. We were, because while I told you about the cities that we were expanding, I didn't tell you about the order deliveries. We were growing 25 to 30% week on week. It started with Home Shop 18, which was our anchor client, because Harish Chawla was invested in us. Harish used to be the CEO at Home Shop 18 at that time. Yeah. So those orders started coming in like a low-hanging fruit. Then Naptol, then this, and that. And the order volume was just absurd. We had so much order volume. It was just about getting more PIN codes in place. We knew we were doing the right thing. We just needed capital to build the infrastructure and the network. Finally, people capital came in. Of course, the terms were not equitable, but at least someone came in, right?
Correct.
So people put in 15 million, wow, primary plus secondary. And I don't think in the history of venture / private equity, any fund would have come in and gone out completely the way people did. So people capital came, and within 9 months, exactly 9 months from the money that they put into our account to the money that they got in back in their account, within 9 months, when Warburg Pincus came, people capital completely exited from
it. And what was the multiple, do you remember?
Have to check out the scheme. But blended, they made a 6.2x.
In 9 months.
In 9 months.
Incredible.
It was, my sense is it was like a full one time on that fund.
Because 90 million in 2014, in India would have been like incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible. Right? The whole fund got returned with this. That was e-com express for you. So of course, when Warburg came and all of that, it was time for us to go because it didn't make sense anymore, right? Our journey as angel investors is limited. It's finite. While all of them are great friends, right? I mean, I can pick up a phone and talk to them anytime I want. But beyond a point, your existence on the gap table can also be dead passive, right? So it's passive. It's not needed then. So then you sort of move on. Took the earnings, invested in Grab, larger check, built it the same way. Grab is like my baby, right? I proudly say this is my baby.
So almost like an operating VC role. What
do you think? I love operating VC role. Every portfolio company of ours, whether it was in my personal portfolio or even in the fund today, is very operational heavy. I'm amongst the only few guys who runs the fund and actually doesn't let go of the exercising right to be on the board. I'm on the board for 22 different companies. I'm willing to stick my neck out for anything that goes right or wrong on that. Tell me one fund manager in this country who takes so many board seats. None of them. I'm okay with that because I know we're building things slowly, bottom up, with the right ethos. Corporate governance has been a paramount.
Very different role than what you obviously see with other funds. And, you know, I think we should probably move into your journey because into ITI, right? Because ITI is 2017 is when you started.
18.
Yeah. So I think before that,
A bunch of these, you know, angel investments.
Correct.
Some did very well. Some did horrendously bad. Local Banya lost money, time, value.
Okay, I think Local Banya had a great UI.
It was the original Big Basket.
Yeah. I love the UX.
In fact, the colors are very similar to what the Money Talk colors are.
Right? I just remember like dropping stuff. You could drop things from an aisle. It was a very incredibly, I think, times invested.
Times invested and let's not talk more about it. Right? This whole, I will barter X for Y doesn't work.
We're digressing for a second here, but I think also paper ads and it's very difficult to justify or sort of map what was the return from that paper ad. Because, you know,
yeah, the free mein tha
humko. Effectively premium.
Effectively, yeah. Pura free mein tha. So they had Springboard and then they had Brand Capital. Okay, Brand Capital is the one where you had to pay some money. Springboard, you had to pay nothing.
But equity is anything.
50% equity for 100 crores of ad.
So 50% of the company's equity.
50% of the company's equity. So now you know why it went down, right? And I have no qualms in accepting, right, that was a great opportunity, which was completely missed, badly managed. And that was a different era because it was basically a gun on your head. If you don't take it, your nearest competitor is taking it.
Correct.
or Big Basket, or there used to be Zop Now in Bangalore, are taking it. So choose. Basically, it's like, you know, I'm either going to supply, I'm going to supply you weapons. If you don't take it, I'm going to supply it to your competition.
Aage pua piche khai.
Exactly. So, yeah, it did horrendously for us. But I still remember that last year, the Kurla warehouse, liquidating FMCG inventory worth 55, 60 lakhs, including ACs and this mega I don't know how many tons, like a large refrigerator, right? Which is a cold refrigerator. It will liquidate the whole damn thing because landlord like, boss, tumne paisa nahi diya rent ka, sabko nikal do. We try to tell everyone, come, you know, take everything at, you know, penny to the dollar, let some money come in the company. Nobody came. Finally, in the night, we just started distributing all the FMCG goods to the entire slum shanties of Kurla.
For free.
For free, because aur koi option nahi tha, kharab hi ho raha tha. But, you know, that really broke my heart. That moment, right? Seeing that entrepreneur dream go down. And Karan was a very good entrepreneur, right? He basically went into the storage after that.
Sir.
He could never recover from that loss. Both financial loss, the emotional loss, personal issues that happened in his family. It just sent him like 10, 20 years back. And I took a call from there to keep us, you know, let's not come to these moments. Let's try and avoid mortality. Not all our companies have to be blockbusters. Not everything has to be 10x, 20x, 30x. Sometimes just building good cash flow rich, positive businesses is great. Can your business, like you and me, I remember you and I had spoken, I told you, otherwise you should come into the round, right? I knew from day one, you and me is not going to be a X multiple.
Correct.
But you remember when I showed it to you, right? They used to do about 2.5-3 crores of revenue and a 15 lakh rupee, 20 lakh rupee EBITDA. This year, they'll clock a revenue of 32 crores and a bottom line of 7 crores.
Wow.
They've already given dividends worth people's investments in the last 5 years. Okay. So all the angels who are invested, they're like, boss, this is a dividend giving company to us. We have no problem just being invested. Also, they make great content. So whenever our portfolios or anybody requires help, we use them. So take a look. You created a small niche shop. 50 people are getting employed. Everyone's making money. What's the harm?
And there is space for those kind of investments too.
There is space for those kind of investments, right? And even in our funds, like, you realize that what hurts us the most is zero.
Correct.
And when something goes to zero, that hurts us the most. But it's something that even at one, which is, you know, essentially a principal capital invested, you're still okay.
Correct.
Right? And the one taker will be there if it can ride a 5-year cycle.
Okay. I think sometimes as long as you can survive,
exactly.
Something's going to show up at the right time,
yeah.
You know, because you were alive.
Like Pulak Prasad's, you know, he's done the whole survival of the fittest, right? He's done the Darwinian rule around investing. It's about just staying solvent. It's just about withering through multiple storms and just coming out strong. That's all.
Just surviving.
Just surviving.
Just surviving. Just holding on to that plank, regardless of how big the waves are, can you just stay on top of that plank?
It's not very easy,
yeah.
Right? You will have to hustle. You will have to do things which you've never wanted to do. You'll have to innovate in ways you've never thought you would innovate. But that is the true test of entrepreneurship. Ye jo cool fad ho gaya na, everyone wants to become an entrepreneur, can raise X versus, because the markets have corrected, it's become better. But you remember 2021, 22.
Very simple before when Oyo became big, right? After that, for a year and a half, everybody was an entrepreneur. But then ITI started, and it's a very interesting, because, you know, considering your background in 2017-18, you could have gone and done a fund by yourself.
I tried, yeah.
Achha.
When you're 27, right? 2017, I was 27. Yeah, 27, 28. After you tasted initial success, right? You feel like, I've arrived. I'm the king of the jungle. I cannot do anything wrong. And logistics, I became like de facto, right?
Yeah.
Because between Grab, sold to Reliance, Ecom Express, Loginext, I didn't invest in Loginext, but Dhruvin was a good friend. His first POC was done at Ecom Express. So I knew Loginext very well. I knew everything that was happening in logistics. I'm like, boss, I can set up a fund, do it all by myself, all of them. And then every single mistake I tell entrepreneurs not to make, I made all of them. Wrong co-founders, taking up a swanky office in BKC, paying rental way more than I could ever afford, realizing that when you are raising a fund or even setting up a fund, nobody wants to come to your office, nobody cares the fuck if you stay in Timbuktu, you just need to hustle and raise money.
That's it.
I made all those mistakes. And very quickly, and to a point, it had started hitting, you know, my own family's cash flow, right? We didn't, like, my wife was not working. We didn't have too much money to really survive. We used to see a small 2 BHK on rent in Chamber. And then I was like, boss, I need some cash flow to come. And then industry friends were so kind. They gave me consulting gigs. So I consulted for 2-3 firms. And I made the cash flow there. So I could actually, and you know, funny part, and again, coming to risk. Cash flow together, housing expense that time was like 50,000-60,000 rupees, right? So thoda bach jata tha, usko bhi main angel investment.
Your wife is a very brave woman.
She actually tells me this, right? She tells me, I'm the best startup investor. I said, why?
Like, I invested in you.
You were a nobody when I first met you. And look, my return on capital has been pretty decent.
Pretty good.
So, yeah, I'm glad if she feels that.
So then how did this, so IITI
essentially is like homecoming for me, right?
Okay.
Because when I realized on the 10th or 11th month that Orteus was not going to happen all by myself, I went back to
my alma mater, which was Antique.
Antique was by then bought over by IITI.
Okay.
And which is Mr. Walia and family. And what they were essentially doing is build out a full stack financial services platform. So they already had an ARC, they had lending books, they had the debt side of the business. They just started a long short fund. And I went and pitched to them and said, sir, ye mera dream or ambition hai ki mera venture capital fund chalana hai. Actually, before that, sorry, I have to take the step back. There was also a phase where I was like, I won't be able to start my own fund. Let me go and take a job in a venture capital fund.
That's
right. So I went job hunting to VC funds. And that was a funny little experience, right? Because there were, so in India, and you know, for all your listeners, right, you realize that entry barriers to VC, at least for the foreign VCs, are very high.
Correct.
You have to be Ivy League or you have to be IIT. But uske bina nahi milega.
Correct.
This particular fund that I'm talking about, I have very high regard for them. Great guys. And the fund, the India managing partner, he told me, was, I really like you, but I will do disservice to you if I hire you. And I was like, boss, I need the salary. Please, I want to be disserviced. I want to please get a salary. He's like, I have enough of a corpus where salary negotiations don't happen in our industry. We are a billion plus fund. Right? So we don't need to negotiate on salary. But at your age, your style of investing is very different.
Mm.
Right? You are a more solo kind of a guy. While we have a fund, we have these ethos around investing. Everything is driven by teams and by multiple hierarchical structures. You will not, like, I will curb.
Do you subscribe to that kind of style of investing with so many committees or whatever, so many teams working on one investment?
Yeah, so I think,
especially early stage, I think
it's not a one size fits all, right? What works for someone doesn't work for another one and vice versa. Where he came from, he actually did a great job by telling me that, you know, you are a different animal and that animal will be not fit over here.
Get caged in a bureaucracy.
Get caged in a bureaucratic environment. But what he did was give me an olive tree, right? Olive branch, actually. And you know, there's that famous thing, right? Where if there was like this pauper who was roaming on the street and about to commit suicide, and there's a guy who wrote him $1,000 check and said, you know, go ahead and cash this. And he never went and cashed it, but just knowing that I have $1,000 check in my wallet, he started building up. And eventually when he went to return back the $1,000, that guy was like, boss, I never had the money in my account anyway.
Correct.
But sometimes just knowing that you have $1,000 check in your bag is enough. So what essentially started was a scout program that they gave me. Then you become a scout for the fund, and whatever your fund is looking at, we will start looking at it together.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the paperwork around the scout program didn't work out, you know, 8 months down the line. But by then, my conversation with IITI was well enough where I said, okay, you know, I'm doing the scout program with these guys, and you know, this is what I can set up. Minds met, and we finally set up IITI.
Wow. And then now you've been in this fund for 5 years and 10 months, 21 investments, for what I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we got our license in early 2019, so it's not been
fun. Were you sort of doing warehouse deals before that? Until?
Yeah, pehle to we had to go and set up the entire GP structure, right? So right, going in LLP and then, you know, understanding which are the right vendors and all that. So it took us a little while. Also for IITI to, you know, understand what the asset class is all about. It took a little bit of legwork at that time. But 2019, Jan is when we got our license. And again, the idea, we did start warehousing early on. The idea was always this, keep us, do something differentiated, right?
Correct.
Small fund, no distribution, right? Our first fund is zero distribution.
Awesome.
It's only connect directly. Of course, people perceive that IITI is the only one investor. They are GP holders with me. They are also anchor investors, but they are not more than 40% of the fund.
Wow.
60% of the fund was raised outside. And these are people who, some of them are, we have overlapping LPs, right? You know this. So those are friends, right? And they came in because they're like, okay, well, we like you. We've done things with you, or we've worked with you. We want to invest in. So that's been our journey. 21 investments. We sit at a MOIC of 4.8. Abhi wo report aayi, so that's how I'm quoting all the numbers. I have never done these benchmarking things, but when we filed for the second fund, nowadays you have to do a benchmarking report, right? So SEBI, I can't say that. That's lesser said the better, right? Maybe all of us as Indian fund managers, right, we spend more time regulating things than anything else, right?
I think this is where we could really talk now deeply about the fact that you obviously run your first fund. You're now starting fund two. Right. Let's say I'm on fund four at this point, but we've now got a good enough understanding, and we're now seeing some of the larger funds, like let's say the IB Caps, that was a 300 crore fund, now 2,500 crore, Bloom, obviously. Yeah. And then you look at the global fund, right? They're all moving out. What's happening? What do you think is the.
So I think, okay. This is a pretty deep sort of a conversation now. I think the global funds have been very brash in their approach in India.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The last 5 years, or not just 5 years, the last 10 years, right? Had the Flipkart Accel deal not happened, right? Had the Flipkart Walmart deal not happened, 2020, 2021 wouldn't have seen the euphoria that it did.
Right.
They were lucky that it happened. I wouldn't say lucky, but Flipkart really built something great. But across the last 10 years, we have always traded at much higher multiples than the world has.
That's true.
Yes, our TAMs are great, but our spending propensity is much, much lower than what it is in the West.
True.
Right? So sanity around valuation has gone way past it. Even in the space that we,
I think around the time when this deal happened, OVO also did a buyback.
Yeah.
Ritesh bought out.
Exactly.
Sequoia and things like that.
And I mean, he leveraged himself.
Yeah.
Byju's. He leveraged himself to do a buyback. I mean, what is happening? Who's giving you this financial advice? Just because capital is available at 1%, 2% doesn't mean you need to take it.
True.
And that you're taking personal leverages now. The implications of this are now coming back to haunt you. This mess that we've created in our ecosystem is the undoing of greed across the board. And unfortunately, what has happened is because everyone on the top is greedy, we've all also started to get greedy, right?
Correct.
Because there is no other way of doing this. How do you survive? It is survival of the fittest. When we used to do seed transactions, there was nobody in the seed space.
Correct.
Today, we get squashed on two sides, right? You have people who've started shops called accelerators / angel houses, where they do transactions like as if, you're basically going and buying aloo piyaj. Anything can get done in those deals. 2 to 3 lakh rupees, people are subscribing to 3 rounds.
Absolutely,
right? That is happening. From the top, the big boys are coming down and saying, we will do seed level checks for $4 million. Karo jo karo. If you were talking to an entrepreneur and you have great insights and you're bringing so much strategically on board, like my neighbor, I have no concern accepting it. My neighbor is a guy called Mohit Bedi. He runs a phenomenal fintech app called Kiwi. Mohit and I have been, we've started brainstorming on Kiwi right from inception days. And he was like, Mohit, I really want you to come on the round. I said, sure. But he went and raised a seed round of 6 million or 30 million.
Wow.
Kuch nahi hua tha. Kuch nahi hua tha. Idea stage pe the. Yes, he comes from a very credible background. Right? Great banking relationships. But both he and I know that this was not a valuation that I should have come in. And I couldn't. This is like my neighbor, my next door neighbor.
I sometimes feel like $6 million rounds at seed, or even at this, in this case, pre-seed idea stage. I mean, why would somebody, in India, labor is so cheap, why would he do any innovation in tech?
Yeah.
It should be like AI would be another Indian, right? Why would he go for artificial intelligence?
I agree. I mean, I think a lot's gone wrong in our ecosystem, and which everyone's now having to account for.
You have, if you look at the guys that are within our ecosystem, like that young funders group that we run, right? And if you look at some of the guys that did not raise that big checks, like, you look at Hardik, you look at Siddharth,
yeah.
Not big checks, small checks that they got, and they delivered fantastic results on those, like
those 90x. Siddharth, right? So, we are lenders on Everest.
Yeah.
As a lending partner, I'm super happy because, it's a seamless process. I know what is the asset that I own. I know what is my payback period. As an investor, you are happy because you've seen cash flows in the company. And Siddharth has built a great PAT positive business.
Correct.
In 4 years' time. And also, pandemic.
We're in August of, September of 23. 3 years ago, it was a zero.
Yeah.
There was zero revenues in even Jan of 21 maybe zero. Right. So I think that there is definitely, like you said, right, that the Indian entrepreneurship style will have to change. And I think it's good that Siddharth didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, although his father could have funded this
exact
Kingdom Cup. Yeah. But he decided to institutionalize early. And not with a lot of money.
No, I think it's done a phenomenal job. And not just that, like, I think so many, right? Ajay's done a great job. Bunch of people, right? Essentially, what we need to do, right, is hit the reset button.
Yeah.
As much as everyone's living in denial today, everyone says, funding winter, January, give us some time. You know, ye main sun raha hu pichle three quarters se. Theek hai, this conference started in March.
They say with January. That's
what they didn't say with January, right? But if we don't course correct, this January will become January 26.
Yeah.
So one thing that's happening dynamically in India, right, is the goalpost keeps changing.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're a fintech entrepreneur, you should be shitting bricks right now. Right. You and I attended the GFF last week. What's the level of innovation that the government is doing makes me wonder what's going to happen in the fintech guys.
Yeah. I think the best part about the Indian ecosystem has been that the government's own stack.
Yeah.
Right. Has been incredibly awesome.
Exactly. But also the flip argument to that is government comes up with these exciting new GST rules, right?
Yeah.
And this completely turns the table on our industry. So from being the big boy of fantasy games, you've turned into a little casino.
So that kind of sectors, I mean, that'll be a much longer conversation, but in that kind of sectors, I'm a big believer in sin sectors. Usually the elasticity of demand is fairly, it's in your favor. Right?
The elasticity of demand is 28% in your favor.
If you look at Singapore, right? Even the tax over there is incredible.
Per capita, $62,000.
Please let people in India not playing in gaming apps in thousands of dollars, right?
Look at the bottom of India playing those games, yeah. Right?
It's a 10-rupee, 20-rupee game.
Huh.
So I think at that level, it might still be true.
Yeah. Essentially, right? I think instead of staying in denial, right? And coming back to the core question that you asked, right? Which is Indian VCs or how will, We are doing our own graduation curve,
correct.
All of us. Like, I think Vikram at IB has done a phenomenal graduation curve. He's really leveled up. He's now become like the face for Indian VC of sorts.
He's one of the first guys to have a dragon exit in Google, right?
Karthik and Sanjay have done a phenomenal job with Bloom. And everyone's sort of building their practice, right? Everyone's sort of carving their own niches and building out their practices. While all of this is happening, you're seeing a little bit of slowdown, meltdown in some of the foreign funds.
Yeah.
So it's a great opportunity for us. What we need to do is, next 10 years, again, keep our heads down, just keep building, just stay relevant, just stay afloat, don't do things which are completely outrageous,
shiny and new.
We also have some of our Indian fund manager friends who did very outrageous things and sort of have erred in that and, you know, not been able to return capital. What we need to learn to do is we should all start doing 5-year funds. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, perpetuity fund nahi chalne wala hai. World is moving too quickly. Try and return back. Like both you and I, right? The commonality between our first fund is the fact that we've been able to return capital back in less than 5 years.
Correct.
DPI was 1K, thoda pass mein ja raha hai, but it's not one in its
entirety. And then you've also got the remaining portfolio that's to be liquidated.
So what we need to do is be disciplined, do small, like in our case, right? Probably do smaller funds, do multiple smaller funds and be able to invest.
Where do you still see the sweet spot is? My first one was, I said, 225. You're almost 75. Now you're coming to second fund. Are you taking it to 300?
It's 300. Yeah.
300. Yeah. So, and I think we're targeting 450 because we've
got, I think
beyond that is very difficult to multiply money.
Beyond 550, 600 crores, right?
Yeah.
The odds get really against you. Like even for you to return the fund at, you know, DPI one is going to be very difficult.
True.
And yeah, fine. I mean, with hurdle and catch up coming in, so it's a different beast altogether. Overall, unless we don't hit that reset button, right? So, okay, how do our funds return money?
Yeah.
Right. Is when our entrepreneurs do well and are able to, you know, raise subsequent rounds or go into listing. Humne across the board itni galtiyan kar di hain. SME listing, this whole euphoria around SME listing, boss, there is no corporate governance. Please, somebody wake up, whoever's listening to this podcast. I urge you to open balance sheets. See who are the auditors for these companies.
There are some good ones, but
there are some very good ones. Yeah. No denying that, right? But unfortunately,
when
the party will stop,
yeah,
everything will come down. You and I both know it. We've seen enough of of these cycles that bear, and we are already in that bear cycle, right? There's a reason why this bear cycle is not opening up.
Yeah.
Is because it's basically the world telling us, wake up, smell the coffee, course correct. And if we still can't do it at 19,500 on the Nifty, when Nifty, for whatever reason, say we have a political event or whatever happens, if Nifty comes down to 11,000, 12,000, tab course correction karne ke liye hamare paas option hi nahi rahe.
Correct.
Everyone will be running helter skelter wanting their money back. I have seen this in 2007-8. I've seen a $1 billion fund going to 120 million despite performance. I'm not trying to be, see, we are all bulls on India, right? 10-year perspective, we are all bulls on India. But I don't think we will be able to do this carpet sweeping very long.
So in fact, even in the last podcast, we were discussing about the fact the need for better corporate governance.
Right.
I think, especially in startups, right? You can't come at the, I mean, we can blame the large unicorns for not having those setups now. But honestly, that setup foundation sort of started really at the seed stage, right? Because I think that's where the angel funds that we talked about, right? That the governance structures have come from them. Their intention has been a bit suspect, in my opinion, because they're
suspect here, right? There are funds who give you money and say, I will take 2% investment banking fee for the money I've given you. There are funds who say, I will be on your board and you will pay me 90,000 rupees for every board meeting I come.
Are you serious?
But who cares, boss? This is a data problem.
And what they're doing also, I'm saying these costs may still be affordable if they were actually putting in some real work in getting the foundational aspect of the company together. Because I'm a big believer that it's very easy to scale anything in a company. Scale mein time lagta
hai. Yeah.
Problem you think is when you're scaling, you have the structure that is strong enough to manage the scale. Most companies have failed in that.
Yeah.
Right? You start scaling, you don't have any reporting practices, koi KPI management hai nahi, or just you don't know where the money is getting spent. And next thing you know, like Ecom Express, you're out of money in 9 months.
Yeah.
Right? Because the structures weren't set. And I think that's where the value of the angel really comes out.
True.
Yeah. Without further ado, the fun part of our show now starts, which is where I ask you questions and you give me rapid fire answers.
I'm not giving anything which is too candid, boss. Oh, I mean, like, I come into trouble for all these things.
Are you saying the remaining conversation was not troublesome enough?
I mean, I'm already going to come into trouble for what we've spoken, but this rapid fire thing definitely.
I'll try to be nice.
Yeah.
All right. So basically, I'm going to ask you a question. First thing that comes to mind is answer. So first question, what's the first action you undertake after waking up?
I kiss my son.
You kiss?
I kiss my son.
Kiss your son. Kiss him.
Vishay. I first kiss him, then I kiss my dog.
Oh, wow.
And two sons, right?
And the wife?
Kabhi kabhi.
Kabhi. Now you're in trouble.
Now we're in trouble. Okay.
What's one habit you uphold every day, irrespective of how packed your schedule is?
I consume a book on Audible for 25 minutes a day.
25 minutes.
So I basically do 52 books a year. 60 to 70% of them are on Audible.
And usually when are you listening to these books?
While I'm traveling, while I'm walking.
Oh, so you don't have a structured time?
I don't have a structured time. Yeah, but through the day, 25 minutes, 30 minutes has to be done on Audible.
That is incredible. Okay, a piece of advice or maybe a quote that has guided you throughout the years.
Just stay hungry, yeah. Stay hungry and stay foolish. Never think that you know too much of anything. Always like a sponge, just keep absorbing more and more. And only give out what is relevant. Be a sponge.
Interesting. The last book you heard or read now that has had a profound impact on
you? A lot of them. I just finished reading Limitless. It's an incredible book, right? Which is basically talks about the art of aging, right? And aging not just because of the heck of it. It's like a longevity book.
Correct.
So it teaches you the Japanese way of life. It's not like Ikigai,
yeah.
But it basically tells you how to modulate your body. What are the right things to do for you to be the same level of active even when you're 102?
Interesting.
Mad book. I started hearing it, then I realized that this is not a book which is worth hearing because it has so much data that I have to consume that I had to like literally take the physical book and do line by line, mark it up for me so I can go and do reference points on it.
Very interesting.
From your background, right? From
engineering school, let's say. What's an invaluable competency you garnered from your earlier days, right, that provides you an edge in the investment realm?
I'm fiercely competitive there. I don't like to admit it, but I'm very competitive.
Where does it come from?
I have no idea. I think having a sibling in the house is where it stems from. It is always sort of competing because my sister is exceedingly bright. She's a oncologist at Tata Memorial.
Oh, okay.
She is the ideal bacha, right? She became a doctor, oncologist, very good at studies. So I had to always compare. She's 8 years younger to me. She used to come and whip my ass 8 years after me, right? So somewhere I'm fiercely competitive about everything, right? But at the same time, I know I'm competitive around things which are meant to be competitive, right? I'm very competitive on sports. I'm competitive on work between my team. And we all try to source the best transaction, right? And I love for them to fight with me. I try to set up that benchmark so high that I am sourcing the best transactions. Can you beat me on this? But I'll not compete on things which doesn't need my competition. Like, I'll not compete my car bigger than your car, my house bigger than your house. That all doesn't matter.
Deals you did in a year, kind of a thing.
That all doesn't matter to me. I mean, that's all ego massage, right?
Yeah.
I like to compete in a very different segment, which is more sort of, how do I term it? You know, it's the
relevant competition.
The relevant competition. I mean, I know it sounds like a very democratically right answer or a politically correct answer to give, but I wish I could, you know, define it in better words.
No, but I agree with you. I when you
like I get like, honestly, you know, like my level of competition, right? When you did Agni Kool, I'd also looked at Agni Kool and I'm like, must get nature, because the gestation time is going to be too high. It hurts my ass every time I look at the word Agni Kool. I don't like to hear Agni Kool anymore. Because I know for a fact I should have been there. And honestly, I'll be like candid over here. I'm finding competitions to Agni Kool with different proponents so that I can, you know, at least have something in that space. That's my competition. It's healthy because...
Exactly.
Because in our competition, India will win.
Correct.
That's a very good way of putting it. Let's see. Which tech startup, right? And leaving out Agni Kool, now that you've already mentioned it, do you wish you had invested in?
Healthify.
You did some
consulting. I did a consulting gig with them and I know Tushar very well. In fact, Tushar pitched to me very early on in this angel round, just before Bloom had come in. Tushar's a phenomenal guy. He's one of the very nice entrepreneurs out there. But somewhere I just felt that, you know, at that time, the whole model around having too many coaches, all of that. So I won't go into a longer answer because it's rapid fire, but Healthify me. I think it's a great app and I should have been on the
game. Which sector do you predict will captivate most VC attention in the upcoming decade?
That's a tough one, yeah. You know, we all of us are in the VC world, right? We're like sheep. All of those, right? So a year ago, Web3 was the answer for this. EV is probably going to be the perpetual answer to 2030. FinTech's going to be there. But I think differentiated commerce, right, is really where it's going to go.
Differentiated commerce.
Yeah, so the whole current scenario around how social media and e-commerce runs, this will have a reset button. And in some ways, it also sort of has a Web3 angle to it, because what we are today, internet is based on our identities, Anirudh, Mohit. Why should that be the future, right? Our identities mean nothing. Our style of consumption should not be dependent on our social profile and likings.
What's your prime tool or strategy for handling the number of deals that you currently manage?
The 30-second rule. When we do a call with the founder, in the first 30 seconds, we know our gut tells us whether is it
30 seconds. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, right? We only pursue deals which appeal to us for the first 30 seconds.
One facet about the Indian VC ecosystem you wish you could transform overnight. Now we get to the serious questions.
One facet, yeah. I think every facet of our ecosystem has to be...
Everything to both sides. Okay, name the one that pains you the most.
Yeah, see, the thing is, the way I look at the VC ecosystem, right? We will become like what mutual funds are today, right? We will be this behemoth managing billions of dollars. But the only way we'll get there is if we do a cleanup. So choose whether you want to rip off the band-aid today or you want the vote to
choose the one thing you want to clean up right away.
Corporate governance. Take accountability, better reporting, and openness, right? I mean, why do you need traction access or ROC access to call out bluffs? There's just bluff masters all around. There is blatant lying on pitch decks, on LP representation, on everything in our ecosystem.
I'm only smiling along.
In mutual funds, right? Or even in PMS, it's very simple. It's black or white. There is no gray. You either outperform the index or you've not outperformed
the index. If the entire paper itself is gray, how can you read the...
Yeah, I'm talking about the... See,
you get my point.
I won't name the benchmarking here, but now you can customize benchmark for your own benefit.
better benchmark. I completely agree. I think we need to do a better job at reporting and corporate governance. And, you know, at least now the big stories coming out are around that be company friendly, not founder friendly. And I think that's very important. Yeah. Got last two questions for you. If it was not engineering, if it was not VC, it wasn't antique, what would Mohit Gulati be doing right now?
I'd be a photographer. Yeah.
Photographer.
Yeah. Well, I love
it. I remember you carried around. Oh, yeah, I remember in Goa and all these places you carried around there.
Yeah.
Nice lens.
I always carry my...
Is that a hobby that most people don't know about?
It's a hobby which I'm too lazy to pursue. So I have good equipment. I try to keep my equipment updated. Like, I buy the mirrorless cameras and get the right lenses. But I'm just too lazy or probably not driven enough to carry it around and, you know, do everything around it. But I do try and do justice with my little iPhone.
All right, Mohit, as we wrap up this conversation, I'm sure this has been very enlightening. Like I said, there could not have been anything that I could have put forward as a script to this man, because we don't know where this conversation was headed. But before we end, is there one last message you want to give to Indian founders out there building right now and looking forward to writing to you?
I think, first up, thank you so much for inviting me. It didn't feel like a podcast. It was just basically you and I. And, you know, other than I've just been friends for so long, but we don't get to do this that often, right? Probably Goa, maybe not in Bombay. We do it in Goa and all the other places. But last time I think we did this was in Goa, right?
Where
we
just, or Bangalore.
Generally, Bangalore. Yeah. But Goa, particularly, because we were just basically lazing in the pool and just doing the random life conversation, yeah. Right? With spirits in our hands and spirits in our mind and everything. But so thanks so much. This has been exceptionally fun. I do tend to put myself into troublesome situations, and I hope I don't cause any stir in your Dhawani talks, because it should be Mohit spoke and Dhawani only listened. And whatever is the contingent liability is Mohit's liability. Dhawani only listened.
The disclaimer is only going to come from your episode.
Definitely a disclaimer from there. But yeah, I mean, I think the message to all entrepreneurs, right, is just this land is, you know, there is so much opportunity, right? The next 10 years are going to be the golden years of this country. We all are going to make money, right? Money is going to be a byproduct. Don't go chasing around it. If you think that India is going to, say, quadruple its GDP or go four times, all of us will have to work 5 to 10x higher than what we are doing today. There is going to be a lot of opportunities. Stay relevant, read up, focus on things which matter. Solve problems. There are still a lot of problems to solve on ground. Not necessarily all problems are pan-India. There could be regional problems which you have to go out solving. There is enough and more that has to be done. And there is a very young population that you need to start employing. So wake up. Don't only go pursuing jobs. Entrepreneurship still is going to be relevant. There is enough money that's there in the ecosystem. You may have heard us talk a little bit of negative things, but that said, there is enough money for all of you who are doing something which is differentiated. And yeah, I mean, you know, all the best building, and do reach out to both Anirudh and me.
Unless we reach out to you.
LinkedIn, yeah. I mean, I'm a LinkedIn boy.
Mohit Gulati on LinkedIn. I'll put the link to the profile. Yeah.
Mohit Gulati, I think it's MG04.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mohit. Really enjoyed the conversation. And, you know, we're going to have to bring you back, because there were some topics we could not go deeper into, but we'll do that next time.
Depending on the level of conversation.
Awesome.